You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by. Right now I feel like I take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is number 76. We're recording this on Friday the 30th, Force Friday for 2016. With me tonight, I am joined by Chris. Chris, how are you?
I am pretty good.
Awesome. And the silence you hear there is Eric. He's been kind of under the weather this week, so we let him take the night off. And of course, we like doing that because now everything's his fault. So if anything does go wrong tonight, it's his fault, and we can blame him. This whole week's been his fault. That's kind of, you know, network policy around here. So that's good. But
hey, Lou.
Yeah,
I hate to interrupt, but you know,
we'll blame Eric.
I have to tell you just now because I just got really excited about something.
Okay.
You know, off the air, you and I were talking about the Del Rey booth at New York Comic Con and how a bunch of our author friends will be there.
Yep.
Well, while you were doing the intro, I was looking at the rest of the like the book publishing people and who like all the authors that will be there. And I just saw that Blake Crouch is going to be there.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
He is doing signings, and well, apparently, I'm assuming there'll be signings. Yeah, signings, and has books for sale.
Cool. I will definitely have to get a copy of one of his books and get him to sign it for me.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
So I know that's not Star Wars related, but I mean, it's...
No, it's all, I mean,
I just had to tell you.
It's good sci-fi stuff, and you guys interviewed him on one of our other shows, too, which is awesome. You and Eric did. I was sadly not available that night. I had to sit in a town meeting that night. I think I was in for zoning or something like that. It was kind of a bummer, but you guys did a great interview with him, and I've loved his book, so I'm pretty cool to see him.
Just get think about
stuff.
It this way. You didn't get to do his interview, but now you can potentially meet him, and Eric won't be there.
That's right. We can say, hey, Eric, here you go. Awesome. No, it's really good news. That's cool. So, yeah, that and all the other Star Wars stuff related going out at New York Comic Con, I can't wait to get into that next week with you down there in New York, and we will talk about that on a future show. But
yep.
I'm excited about that. We got some other New York Comic Con related news later on in the show here, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But let's just dive right into it here. As I mentioned before, Force Friday, this is the 2016 equivalent of what last year was the big, big toy release they had. And our discussion segment tonight will cover kind of what we did for Force Friday ourselves and talk about what we did and didn't get and kind of expectations and how we thought it went. So that's something to look forward to later on in the episode. But for now, in the news, we had some news for Star Wars Animation this week. I think last week, right after we recorded, there was some talk about the fact that Dave Filoni was no longer the supervising director of Rebels. Mm-hmm. And people were kind of like, oh, that's not, well, what's going to happen here? You know, kind of up in the air. And it was kind of a surprise to see him not tagged as a supervising director on the first episode. But some news broke a couple of days ago, actually, this week. So it's actually good news now. He's not the supervising director anymore, but he is the head of all Star Wars Animation. which, you know, hey, congratulations, Dave. That's a promotion, I guess, for you, which is awesome. But mm-hmm. to me, it also means that we're going to get more than just Rebels.
Yeah, when I saw this, I got really excited.
I know, that's the best part of the news, that we're going to get more stuff from Disney Animation. If he's overseeing all the animation, I mean, he already was, because all the animation was just Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by default, he was doing that. But now, if he's being put in position now to supervise other shows as well, that means we're getting more shows. Mm-hmm. Yay! So that's really good news.
I wonder if this will ever mean that Dave will be able to do a live-action Star Wars film.
You know, yeah, I don't know how that plays in with Disney and their shows for animation versus live-action versus movies. I don't know how that really plays into it, because I don't know what kind of role he had played with the, you know, the J.J. Abrams stuff going forward and the movies that are coming out from Disney now. Does he have any input? Does he have any, you know, story? I mean, he's not part of the story group, right?
No, not officially.
So, I mean, is he feeding stuff back? I mean, I know there was an article a couple of days ago I read somewhere that was talking about him and interactions with how he's making Rebels kind of interface with Rogue One coming up, because they're kind of in the same time frame and kind of what they're playing off of, and still making Rogue One being its own thing and have Rebels being its own thing, but they need to play nice in the same universe together. So kind of his discussion on how that, you know, happens philosophically and in his own mind, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know what they would do if he, you know, would they tag him for a live action show? Is Disney, you know, live action TV kind of in the same arm as animation? As far as, you know, as far as how Disney produces stuff, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they would, like, give him the job just to, you know, do, like, direct a major film. I would personally think that he might be better off maybe doing, like, a supervising role or, like, a writing role, because I think that's his strong suit.
Yeah.
Rebels so far has had really good writing, and from what I've seen of Clone Wars, it has too. And, you know, the story itself was pretty good, and some of the concepts introduced in it. But I think, you know, that might be the best route to go for him, live action. But I mean, if he's offered a job later on and he wants to do it, I mean, you know, more power to him. I mean, I don't think any Star Wars fan who, you know, as at least active in the fandom when it comes to Rebels and Clone Wars and the animation in general, I don't think he would really, I don't think they would, you know, say, eh, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, you know, could he do it? I'm sure he could. I mean, he's a very talented guy. I'm sure he could direct live action, but directing a live action TV show or movie is quite a bit different than what he does now. Even though he's directed episodes of Rebels and Clone Wars, I would have to imagine that there's a different skill set involved of directing, you know, people and stuff on set than it would be directing an animated show.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I mean, I haven't done either, so you know, we might have talked. But I mean, I'm sure he could. I think I'd love to see him do something like that. But you're right; he does a great, you know, way about writing and kind of weaving the story together to give us what we want. I mean, you know, he was basically tutored by George himself, right? To make, you know,
yeah.
He was shown by George how to make Star Wars, which is what he did going forward. And he's continuing to do that. And now I guess he's going to be doing the same thing. I'm trying to find the name of the gentleman that is replacing him as supervising director. I just had it here and I lost it. Justin Ridge. So he's going to be kind of mentoring Justin, at least in his first year of him doing Rebels. So he'll be doing what George did for him for Justin Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that's a very, very good thing for him to be doing. He's very talented at that, and he's going to show Justin the ropes and say, hey, this is what we're doing. So,
yeah.
Oh, that's exciting news. I am really excited to see how this all plays out and what we're going to get, especially the what we're going to get part.
Yeah.
if there's something new coming down the road. Let's see here. Next story up is MakingStarWars.net is reporting that we are going to get a trailer for Rogue One sometime in mid-October.
I will take that.
Definitely, definitely. I saw some stuff earlier this week about how they're thinking it's going to be attached to Doctor Strange as a trailer. You know, being another Disney property, that makes sense. They're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of close to the release of Rogue One, though. I mean,
they could always like release it mid-October and then just put it in the on Doctor Strange or whatever movie they want later to like hype up, because there are still movies that like you go see now and then you're watching a preview for something, and depending on when you see it, the preview that you're watching might, the movie for it might already be out, you know?
Right.
So I mean, that doesn't really bother me, because I think they would release it online way before
yeah,
this anyway.
And that's exactly what Making Star Wars.net is saying, is that we're probably going to get this on a television show and or online at the same time in mid-October, ahead of the fact that Doctor Strange is coming out on November 4th, which is, what, about 5 weeks ahead of when Rogue One comes out? So 5 weeks, is that really enough time, too little time? I mean, I'd like to see it come out in a theater earlier than November 4th.
Mm-hmm.
But because by that time, usually by that last few weeks, so 3-4 weeks worth of time before a movie, you're seeing more television spots. They're releasing, you know, those are the ones I stay away from. The ones I don't want to watch are the ones they put on television where they're giving you more bits and pieces of the movie. And I don't want to see that. I don't want to take a chance on giving away something that I want to be surprised by. So I'll watch the official trailers, the ones online, the ones in front of movies, but I try to avoid all the TV spots.
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking, honestly, I'd be fine if we didn't get another trailer.
Oh yeah, I don't think there's anything that they need to release now that's going to sway more people. I mean, they've got some pretty good visuals out there right now. The stuff coming out now, to me, is really going to just give me more than I really want to know. I am, like you said, I am happy with what we already have. It's given me a taste of what the movie's going to be like. Unless they give us a little bit more of the gritty fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I could see a little more of that. I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more of that to give me a taste of... Not big sequences, but just a taste of what the cinematic view is of the fighting. You know, how dark and gritty, how immersed you are in the battle. You know, is it going to feel like... You're watching Saving Private Ryan. You know, is it going to feel like that first scene in that movie where you're, taking the beach and just, how impressive that was to see that fighting? Is it going to be like that?
Mm-hmm.
If they give us a small taste of that, I'd be like, oh, boy, I can't wait,
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
That'd be really cool to see. So we'll have to wait and see when that comes out. I don't know. December can't come sooner for me. I am ready to see that movie now, especially with the toys that just came out in the last day mm-hmm. or so here, or today, I should say. Feels like a couple of days. I saw some toys in the store before Force Friday. I'll get that later, but see some stuff on the shelves earlier. I was like, ooh, I should buy that now. We had another fun thing. Remember a couple of years ago? It was a year ago, I guess. Maybe somebody released a web page out there to tell what it would cost to build the Death Star. Remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that.
It was kind of weird. It was fun to kind of imagine that. Not that, we could think about building a device as big as a moon, but not at this stage of our development. But it was kind of cool to think about. Well, somebody's done something similar for an AT-AT. I guess coming out ahead of this movie, we're going to see the walkers again in Rogue One. Brings people's thoughts back to this iconic weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And they put together an infographic of what it would cost to build one. And they pegged the price at around $226 million, which, seems like an awful lot, definitely. They kind of give, how much the armor would cost, and most of it was the armor, and they talk about how, what the armor would be for, how much material would be on this versus like an M1 Abrams tank. They say it's about $146 million. They talk about the lasers on the head of the weapon, and the suitable or what's close to what we have today, what would be kind of those kind of weapons if there's anything in development. And they put like $22 million for the small ones and $50 million for the larger, you know, lasers and stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, it adds up to, you know, what they had, $226 million. I'm like, that doesn't seem like an awful lot of money to me. Mm-hmm. When you think about what the military spends on equipment and, you know, the aircraft, the tanks we have, the ships and everything else. So I said, well, let me do a quick search online. So I searched for one of the newer aircraft that the Air Force has, the F-22 Raptor. And I quickly found that the, you know, U.S. Air Force spent $62 billion in developing this aircraft with Lockheed Martin. And they figured, well, for the first production run they had of these aircraft, they're about $339 million apiece. And I compared that to the $226 million for this gigantic Walker. I'm like, I think they did the math wrong. I think we missed a step, so maybe they forgot to carry the two. Because I mean, when I first saw this story, I'm like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. When they write how much they come up with, I'm thinking it's going to be in the billions of dollars to build an AT-AT. Mm-hmm. I mean, these things are massive. You know, massive engines inside, massive weapons in the head. You know, just the sheer volume of materials is a big piece of equipment. I mean, I'm kind of thinking this should be on the price range of what you'd build a naval destroyer or something, right? A battleship, mm-hmm. maybe. I mean, maybe battleship's too big, but yeah, for $226 million, I think you'd be, you know, put another couple zeros in the end of that, maybe $226 billion to build an AT-AT. So I kind of have to take issue with what bestcasino.co.uk, the ones that put up this infographic. Entertaining as it is, I just think it's a little bit undervalued.
Well, Louis, one thing you got to remember is that the Empire existed a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So we're accounting for inflation.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. You're absolutely right. Maybe you're right. Yeah, okay. I guess it could be that cheap then. And they don't have our buyers buying, you know, toilet seats for $50,000 and, you know, that kind of stuff. They have the hammer for, you know, $150 and this and that. It's mm-hmm. like, maybe the Empire's got much better buyers than the U.S. government has.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, boy. So that was our fun story for the week. I had to bring that up. That was kind of interesting. We mentioned New York Comic Con, and we have two related stories to that for Star Wars. Chris, you do you collect any of the Funko Pop figures, the little vinyl bobbleheads and the vinyl figures they have?
Yes, I do.
You do? Are you very avid? Do you have a ton of them? Do you have every single one?
No, I'm the type of person that when I collect something, I collect what I like.
Okay.
So
that's probably a great way to do it.
I only get the figures of the characters I like or the ones that I think look really cool. I have a few that are still in the box in my closet. I think I have the new newer Luke from The Force Awakens, and I think I have a Rey with a lightsaber. And then over on my shelf, I have a BB-8, the Hot Topic Rey, and I have an R2. Well, it's not an R2-D2. It's it's one of the astromech droids that I think GameStop had. Mm-hmm. A couple summers ago, and the only reason I got it is because the colors of it is the same colors of my university, so it match.
Okay. That's cool. That's a good way to look at it. You probably do it the right way by not buying every single one. I'm more of a completist, maybe. I'm more of a, maybe it's my OCD, I guess. Maybe it's not complete, maybe it's just OCD. If I collect them, I want to collect all of them, even though I know I don't need to, but I always want to. So I've kind of not gone down the whole Funko Pop route because it looks like a black hole that I'll never climb
out
of.
You would never, ever come out of that hole, Lou.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw the booth last year at New York Comic Con and just the sheer volume of what they had in the shelves, and then I found out everything there at the booth is actually a New York Comic Con exclusive. I'm like, so this isn't even stuff you'd find at the regular store. This is just for New York Comic Con. I'm like, that makes me just my skin crawl thinking about how much stuff is out there. And they had a very similar booth at Celebration too, with just tons and tons of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they announced a couple New York Comic Con exclusives for Star Wars related stuff. Two figures in particular. The first one they've announced is a Qui-Gon Jinn. So I think this is one of the first prequel era vinyl pops they're going to produce. I don't think they've done any up until now.
Yeah, if there are, there's not many.
Yeah, there was kind of a big, you know, cheer over this when they came out, that people were like, oh, finally getting some prequel era characters in the Funko Pop stuff, which is fun. I mean, Qui-Gon Jinn looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is from Rogue One. Biston is his name. And he is he's a gunner on the new U-Wing, which is pretty cool. He's a very, very cool looking guy. Red eyes, kind of huge bushy eyebrows, looks pretty menacing. Definitely not human. You know, humanoid, yeah. Human, not human. And he is an Ikaru, I guess, if I'm pronouncing that right. His race, he's somebody we've never seen before, and I guess we're not going to learn a lot about him, which is, I'm kind of surprised at why we're going to get him as a Funko Pop figure, probably one of the first ones for Rogue One. According to Entertainment Weekly, the quote they have here is, his real name is Biston. He's the gunner on the new starship known as the U-Wing, a sort of gunship and troop transport. It's not necessarily a character we're going to get to know, but I think he's very memorable, iconic looking, said Edwards. He is one of my favorites. I can't give away what happens to him. So, you know, he's going to play a role in this movie, obviously, but we're not going to find out much about him or his race.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a bummer that we're going to have this as our first, you know, Funko Pop figure for Rogue One, but we're going to get somebody who's not really a main star.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they do have some of the Funko figures that were released today, but as being an exclusive, I mean, maybe it kind of makes sense because you don't want to put, I don't know, a Jyn Erso as a exclusive when you know it's going to be limited in nature, because, you know, that's going to be the popular character that everyone wants. Whereas, you know, you're going to have fans of this minor character, who we're assuming is a minor character. And that's going to be a more niche market. And,
right, but they could do an exclusive version of Jyn or somebody else, which they've done before. They do a paint variant of whoever for, you know, different, you know, outlets. I mean, I picked up a very limited one last year of Boba Fett, but it's nothing I even like. It's kind of weird, kind of green with glitter on it and stuff. But, you know, it was a exclusive they had there, and you'd never find anywhere else but near a Comic-Con. They could have done it with Rogue One, I guess, but yeah. So, you know, those things are cool. Now, I think the bigger story about this in general, and this isn't just Star Wars related, but Funko Pop has always had exclusives at all the conventions they go to. They're kind of unique in the fact that they only sell at their booth during certain times of the day, and they have tickets they give away usually at the convention where they'll have, okay, at 10 o'clock, come down to, you know, the queue hall and get in line. We'll give you a ticket to get into the booth at, say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon to buy whatever you want to buy. And it's challenging to get those tickets and get into the booths. Well, this year they went a different route trying to, you know, help control this. And they did, and you noticed this especially first when we were recording the other night. They had an online lottery. You put your name in if you're going to be going to New York Comic Con, and they'll draw the names out and tell the people who win the tickets that they can go to the booth at whatever time to pick up their, you know, to be able to buy stuff. Well, they did it for like 3 days, and we missed it by like a day.
Yeah,
and that was it. I'm like, okay. For three, you know, if I didn't go to the, and I didn't go to the New York Comic Con website for 3 days, I missed the announcement. I missed the ability to put my name in. So now we can't get into the Funko Pop booth and buy stuff.
Yeah, I saw this. Well, we were talking about it, and I was really surprised that they would do something like this and not even have it for a week. Yeah. Not even half a week.
It was like 3 days. I'm thinking to myself, you know, do it for a month, do it for a couple of weeks, something.
Yeah. I mean, but I understand why they do this, because like you said, Funko is one of the biggest draws when it comes to like mainstream merchandise. Like, you see them everywhere you go, and they have a draw for not only Star Wars collectors, but pretty much every single, you know, popular fan. If it has a fandom, it probably has at least one Funko figure.
Yeah, so it does.
Like, I think this is, it's smart, but the execution was terrible.
Yeah.
Like, why? Just because I didn't happen to check Twitter or social media or something. Like, why do I miss out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have went to the convention thinking, oh, I can just go up to the booth and, you know, at least look around and maybe buy stuff. Nope. Because I would have never heard about it unless you mentioned it.
Right. If this was your first New York Comic Con, you might not even have realized that that's how Funko did their stuff. I mean, I didn't until last year when I was there. I was like, oh, you can't just walk in and buy stuff? No, you got to be, you know, in line when they give me out tickets to get a ticket, to get upstairs in line, to wait at the booth, to get into the booth to buy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand that for like something exclusive. I remember at Celebration, you stood in line for the Lego figure.
Mm-hmm.
And you eventually got it, right?
Yep.
Okay. And I mean, I understand that, but I mean, like, you could just walk into the Lego booth anytime you wanted and buy, you know,
other stuff, right?
Yeah.
Stuff that wasn't excluded. Well, same thing with the Hallmark booth. I did that at Celebration. I did it at New York Comic Con last couple of years. They have a couple of, you know, event exclusive figures that are or ornaments for Star Wars and some other stuff. And the trick is, you get there right when the gates open, go there right to the booth, get in line, and you might wait for, you know, half hour before the line moves to the point where you're up to buying it. And they have so many every day. When they run out, they run out. I understand that. But the whole thing with the Funko thing is like, okay, you got 10 o'clock, I go downstairs in the queue hall, get in line, I get a ticket down there. Then I got to get in line for, you know, my ticket says I can go in there at 2:15. And I got to get in line to be up there by 2:15 to make sure I'm there at the time. It's just, it seems very strange the way they lay that out. But I guess it works for them. I guess it worked somewhat. Now they're doing something different this year with this lottery system. But I'm just kind of bummed that, you know, if you didn't check that or didn't see that part of the page and you just showed up thinking, oh, I'm going to New York Comic Con, I can go to the Funko booth and get my ticket. Say, wait, oh, I had to do this a month ago. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's a bummer, you know. So we're not going to get to go into the Funko booth. Unfortunately, we'll get to look from afar and see. I mean, thankfully, I don't collect all of them, so I'm not like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, really bummed. But I'm kind of bummed. It'd be nice to at least have the chance to go do it. But I did look online here. The Smuggler's Bounty box for Rogue One is up for pre-order now. They do the Smuggler's Bounty is where they do the box. Was it once every 2 months, I guess? You get a box. There's two mm-hmm. exclusive figures in there, a bunch of other stuff, T-shirts and this kind of stuff. Always fun to see those exclusive things. I think Eric gets those. Let's see what's in the Rogue One box and see what they have. It's kind of fun. But sadly, we won't get them. Now, you were talking about some book stuff going on. Del Rey had announced their schedule, you said, for New York Comic Con.
They
is there
did.
Anything good we're going to get to see? Anybody that we know and love?
Well, let's see. I'm here. They put this on their the Del Rey Tumblr page. They have stuff going on every day. They have their main booth, which is part of the larger Del Rey and Penguin Random House booth. But they have just the specific Star Wars thing. And, you know, they're going to have, like, signings and people that work for Del Rey. And I think they have a sampler, which that will be interesting to see if the sampler includes stuff from the upcoming books.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have books for sales and giveaways. But specifically, let's see, on Friday from 11 to 12, they have a panel called Star Wars Presents a Writer's Roundtable, which has let's see, Charles Soule, E.K. Johnston, Jim Lucino, Tim Zahn, and Chuck Wendig. Apparently, they're just going to, I guess, talk about writing Star Wars. And then they'll have a signing. This is the BookCon building, which is not in the main center for this. So if you want to go to that, it's in a different building, and you need a wristband. So,
Okay, we'll have to check that out then and see what we have to do. So now, their panel is there, or their signings are still in the booth on the floor, right, of the convention?
The regular signings, yes. This is the only signing that it's the only signings that require wristband, and okay. It's the only thing that I'm pretty sure happens at a different building. So,
yeah, they had some stuff at a second building last year too, offsite, not the book stuff, but they had some other events, which was kind of a bummer because you had to walk there. It was, you know, had to plan time to make sure you didn't miss something else, but you know. They're getting bigger and bigger. I mean, Javits Center did announce a huge addition they're putting onto it, which won't be done this year. Probably won't be done for another 5 or 6 years, but be cool to have more space. So we'll get more stuff all in one spot. But so we'll have to definitely check out this BookCon thing. That sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, they also have the regular booth signings, and then they say everything's going to be free for that. And they'll have plenty of copies of the books to buy so that, you know, you can buy it and have the author sign it. Thursday from 2 to 3, Jim Lucino is going to be there, and you get a free Catalyst poster.
Awesome.
Which we're going to have to pick. He's going to be on the other day, so we'll have to pick that up. Chuck Wendig is going to be there from 5 to 6 with an Aftermath poster. Friday, Lucino again from 2 to 3, 3:30 to 4:30 is Tim Zahn, and he has a free Thrawn poster, which have to try to snag that as well.
Cool. Yeah, I think I'll need one of those.
5 to 6 is Chuck Wendig again. Saturday is on 11 a.m. to 12 is Chuck Wendig. 1 to 2, Tim's on. 4 to 5 is Jim Lucino and John Jackson Miller. And if you go to that signing, you get a free copy of A New Dawn.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this day we're not going to be there.
Yeah, and it just so happens to be the only day they're doing that. So
nice. Yeah, yeah. That's great. Thanks.
But Wait.
You know what? We can blame Eric for that.
Exactly.
He's not here.
So, and I actually met John Jackson Miller at a hotel at Celebration. And I was not stalking him. No. I just happened to other friends were talking to him about just random stuff, and I just happened to join the circle, so I was just listening. It was nice.
Cool. That's awesome.
And then Sunday is a dual signing between Tim Zahn and Chuck Wendig from 11:30 to 12:30. And it says, for signings will form no sooner than 5 to 10 minutes before the signing time. We have plenty of giveaways, and we work really hard to manage our lines, so no need to try and line up before. We want you to meet your favorite authors just as much as you do, which that's good because, you know, a lot of people aren't going to want to wait in line for even 30 minutes just to meet an author.
No. And you know, in last year, I mean, I went by the door booth a couple of times and got some stuff signed. And the lines weren't that long at all, really. It was like you kind of walk up and maybe a couple people ahead of you and you just kind of chat with the author for a minute or two and then you're on your way, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to go and definitely meet Jim Lucino.
Yeah, I might, if I think about it, I might bring, because I have, let's see, I have Darth Plagueis by him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that, I might have to bring that just to
see. I don't have any of the books themselves. I would do audiobooks, so. It's on my iPhone, but no. I think I might have to, because that is one of my favorite books out there right now, is Darth Plagueis.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to pick one of those up there at the convention and have him sign it for me. Because that'd be kind of neat. I love his stuff. I love the way he writes. It'd be cool to have a signed book by him.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, awesome. I think that's it for news, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, let's talk about the fun stuff. We had Force Friday today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little tired because I was up last night for the midnight release. And I've been out all day today doing stuff, and now it's, you know, kind of late in the evening, and I'm a little tired, but I was pretty happy. We went out. Eric, as you know, is up near me here in Connecticut, and we decided to go out and do Force Friday Midnight Release again. And last year, if you remember, we talked about we went to Toys R Us. We figured, okay, toy release.
And you said you weren't going to do that because it was terrible last year, right?
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, you know, I'm thinking it's a toy release. Toys R Us, okay, you know, kind of goes hand in hand, right? They're going to do a good job. We got them. They had toys and they had some stuff, but, you know, that was it. We ran in, got our stuff, got out. I'm like, well, let's get on the street to Walmart and see what they had. We walked in there, and we were kind of depressed with how little they had at Toys R Us. This is last year, mind you. Didn't have a lot of the figures. It was cleaned out pretty quick. I think I only got two of the black figures out of the six they had. And we get down to Walmart, and they had plenty more figures left down there, so we got to pick up a few more that we didn't get in the first store. But they had cupcakes, they had balloons, it was like a big event. I'm like, oh, we went to the wrong place. You know, next year we're coming here, you know? And when we heard they were doing Force Friday again, we're like, okay, we're definitely doing Walmart. So Eric and I were planning to meet. I said, okay, I'll meet you down there. I'm, you know, 11:30, so we'll get down there and get in line, just kind of get our stuff. It's a 24-hour Walmart, so it wasn't like it had to wait outside. So I got there a little bit. I was like 11:15. I got there last night. And I walked inside, and I'm kind of walking over where the toys are and looking for the cake, looking for the cupcakes and the balloons. You know, I'm expecting a big table, maybe with a big banner up in the air, and, you know, a big, you know, cloth covering it for the big reveal. Nothing. There was nothing out.
Nothing whatsoever.
Like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm in the wrong spot. So I went back up front, you know, by the register, walked around, seeing maybe the big display when you first come in. No, nothing there. Went back over to the toy aisle again, found the Star Wars stuff. And they had actually a few black figures swinging on pegs that I hadn't seen for a while. You know, they had the original ones from last year. And pretty good selection of those, pretty good selection of the rest of the, you know, current Star Wars toys. Nothing new out, nothing new, like, out with a, you know, cover over it or something. No boxes anywhere waiting to be brought out. And mind you, it's, you know, 11:15 now. I'm thinking, if they have the stuff, it should be out already. Like, they're not going to try to bring out all these toys at, you know, midnight exactly, obviously. They want, you know, nothing. So, I was like, well, I got time before midnight. Let me leave here, and I will head down to, there's like one exit down the highway to where Toys R Us was, and there's a Target down there. And so I got off the exit, drove by Toys R Us, and I saw a couple people outside by the doors. I'm like, okay, well, at least I know they're doing something here, you know. So I drove down further to where Target was, and Target was just black. Nobody there. Lights are out. Lights in the parking lot were out. I'm like, okay, I guess there's no event going on here. So I drove back to Toys R Us, got out of the car, and some of the same guys I saw there last year were there, and some of them were for, you know, they were for a toy company trying to buy some toys for themselves to sell. But, you know, a few fans, I was pretty happy to see that, and they said, yep, definitely doing stuff, and they said, oh, you look through the window, you can see the stuff they got, a whole display out. I'm like, okay, good. And the manager came out, about 10 of, you know, asked what was looking for, and he told kind of where the layout was and said, everything's up front now, no more running to the back, it's all in one spot. And I was like, okay. And at this point, I texted Eric, said, okay, I'm here instead of at Walmart. He goes, what, didn't you learn from last year? I was like, well, yeah, I did, but there's nothing there. So he joined me at Toys R Us. We went in, and everything was right. It was actually pretty nice. Right in front, you come inside, they had one display, all the new Lego toys were there, the new, you know, black figures were there. The new, you know, small 3¾ stuff was there. And I grabbed four of the Black Series figures that were out, which I was pretty excited about. I got the four I wanted to get. I think it's only four that were out at the moment. So snagged those. And they gave you a free T-shirt on the way out. I was like,
oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah, I was like, this is pretty cool. You know, the Funko Pop T-shirts that come in the box, you know, the thin box that had one of those. It was a Rogue One T-shirt.
Oh, man, I'm jealous.
It only comes in, I only have a large. They didn't give me, I need an extra large. I'm a, you know.
hey,
extra large kind of guy.
I wear a large, just saying.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, maybe you'll have a t-shirt next weekend when we meet at New York Comic Con. Because it's a pretty cool one. It's got, you know, the Funko Pop style figures on the front. It looks awesome. I went back and said, I know this is free and you guys are very nice. Do you have any extra large? He said, no, we don't. We only get large. Okay. Just let it ask. So yeah, no, you're more welcome to that one, Chris. Definitely. I'll bring that with me next weekend.
Okay.
You'll be styling your new Rogue One t-shirt.
Yeah. Exactly. Can't beat
so,
that. Yeah.
So I mean, Toys R Us did a better job this year than they did last year, at least the Toys R Us by me.
Well, I think maybe they learned their lesson. Maybe they listened to the show that we recorded right after that, because I'm pretty sure Eric had a big rant.
You know, Eric said the same thing. He's like, maybe they heard the show. I was like, yeah, maybe. I doubt it. Maybe they did. But, I mean, they still didn't have any cake.
Yeah. Hey, I got cake last year at my Walmart, so I was fine with that.
Well, you know, and I guess I'm not that surprised by the lack of event status for this release. I mean, first of all, there wasn't the sheer volume of toys that we had last year. It wasn't like we had that many toys compared to what we got last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, last year was a toy release around a movie that we didn't think we were going to ever get. The first movie for a new studio doing Star Wars. And that was a big, big deal, you know, yep. This movie coming out last year. Rogue One, while it's a big deal to us and the fans that are listening to our show, it's not a big deal in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think last year you probably had some people that really weren't, I don't know how to say that, you know, without making it sound bad, but, you know, a real fan, you know, I mean, that sounds bad to say, but you probably had people that were not as into it as we are that were like, hey, you know, I'll go and check out some stuff. I'll go pick up some toys. Maybe, you know, my kid will like this toy. But this year it's not. You know, people weren't going out of the way to find this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm not so surprised by it, but I would have thought we would have had a little bit more if we had.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to get out today at all, getting something? I mean, I know you went last night at midnight, but...
Yeah, I was going to go out last night, but I was asking some of my friends around here that, same people I went with last year, and they weren't going out, so I said, well, you know, there's not really a point. Plus, I was really tired yesterday, so I was like, it's not worth it. So I decided today that I was going to go to Target because I was up by I was up in that area anyways. And I said, well, I'll go to Target, and you know, I just want to see what's there. Because I didn't really want to buy anything unless I saw something. Like, I wanted to get Jen Black Series, but I knew she might be popular, so I wasn't, like, you know, going to hope for it and, you know, have my expectations crushed. So I go to Target and I walk in, and up at the front they have like a Rogue One standee type thing. I think they have, like, it was like two of the new storm. I think it was one of the Death Trooper and one was like, it's either a black regular Stormtrooper or just another Stormtrooper. I don't know. I don't even remember. It had Star Wars Rogue One on it and then some hashtag thing. Sounds pretty cool. And then behind that, still in like pretty much the front area, they had a Rogue One display. And it was pretty small. It was just like a square cardboard thing. And they had a few lightsabers and then some other kind of, I think, vehicle thing. And then they had the Black Series figures there. And I was like, oh, well, these are what I want. So I was flipping through them, and they had the Death Trooper. They had three or four Kylos, which I found odd. I don't know if they had any of the droid. I can't remember his name, the Alan Tudyk droid. But in the back...
Yep.
In the back, they had one Jyn. And I was like, well, I got to get it.
Okay.
So I picked it up and then walked back to the toy section to see, you know, if there was anything else. Because I was really looking for the Funko figures. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier in the show, that's really what I would rather have. Mainly because when you look at some of the Black Series figures and especially the 3 3/4 figures, some of the sculpts are terrible.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely agree there.
I mean, I have a Poe that I picked up simply because I could never find him anywhere else. And he looks like... He honestly kind of looks like that the thing from the Goonies.
With, oh, boy.
With the messed up face, you know?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So...
wow.
Honestly, that's what...
That says something.
Yeah. And that's really what most people say about that figure.
Now, do they have any black figures in the smaller format out for this wave? I mean, for this release?
I don't know. I know that they sell them, but I don't think anything came out for that.
Okay, because I saw some regular 3¾ figures they had, and I saw... I did see a few Sabines out there that I think the face sculpt on her is terrible.
Well, I was actually just going to read. Eric put in the Slack channel earlier. He said, picked up the Sabine figure I wanted so badly, swapped her out for another one with a less messed up face sculpt, swapped her out again, then put that one back. She looks horrible.
Oh, God.
And I, nice. That's, after I read that, because I was a little upset because I didn't find a Sabine, and that's really one I want. But now that he said that, I'm probably just going to go with the Funko figure.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. She looks good, but the face doesn't look all that great.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of neat to see her in plastic. Now, there is a Black Series 6-inch figure of her coming out later this year, isn't there?
See, I've read conflicting reports that people are like, oh, yeah, I got Sabine. And I'm like, okay, did you get the small one or did you get the Black Series? Because... And then I saw where some people said, well, did the Black Series Sabine come out and not Revan? Is Revan later in the year? Or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I want to say, just trying to navigate to Rebel Scum while we're talking here. They had a list of all the stuff coming out with photos of some stuff, but, no, that's the wrong page. I want to say Revan's put off till later.
Yeah.
I want to say Sabine's coming out later this year in 6-inch, which I was, because Eric said, yeah, no, she's not coming out. And I was thinking, okay, not now, but there is one later, I think. So that'd be something I'd want to, because I've decided that I'm going to collect all the Black Series figures going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to try to go back and get the other ones from before, because I'm only looking for now. But like, according to Rebel Scum, and I guess they've numbered the ones that are out now. You know how they have the number on the side of the box?
Yes.
So they've numbered those that are out now. And the one I didn't see this past, you know, or last night, was the Kylo Ren Unmasked. Now, did you see him?
Because yeah.
You said you saw Kylo. Okay, I didn't see him at all.
There were like four or five of those.
Oh,
they
wow.
had a lot of those.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't see any of him. I did pick up the Death Trooper. I did pick up the, you know... K2SO, the droid, Captain Cassian, and then Sergeant Jyn Erso.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got listed later on, they've got an AT-AT driver, C-3PO, Darth Revan, Emperor's Royal Guard, Hera, which would be a 6-inch, so, oh, that's awesome, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, her, you know, bus driver. Sorry. Lando's coming out, Obi-Wan from A New Hope, Princess Leia from A New Hope, Qui-Gon Jinn, Sabine, and a Snowtrooper, oh, sorry, and a Tusken Raider, are all due, I guess, later this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a lot of stuff coming out. I'm still looking for some of the first series from last year.
I
wish you could find all these things. You know, I'm not saying they have to be out there in 20 million things on a shelf where they're just not selling. But I mean, some of these ones I've never even seen. Not like I was going by and say, "Oh, I don't need money today. I won't buy it," and then mm-hmm. back later it's gone. Just never ever have seen it. A couple of the ones I picked up recently from my own collection was at one of the Comic Cons here in Connecticut, and sold by a dealer. So you're paying a little more for them in some cases, and, you know, not the way I really want to find them, but I've only seen, like, I think it was, I had only seen Phasma in one of these dealers, not swinging on the shelves out in the wild. Never, ever seen her. I'm like, okay, well, how does that happen? You know, it's like, I don't know. It always has bugged me about that, trying to collect this stuff. And of the first 25 from 2015, mm-hmm. I'm missing a good, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm missing 8 out of the 25.
Oh, okay.
And I think some of them may have been pushed off. Maybe I'm not really missing them because they didn't come out. I mean, according to the Rebel Scum site, they had 1 through 21, and they have 4 of them that I guess were last year, they're put off of this year, the C-3PO, Darth Revan, Obi-Wan, and Sabine.
Mm-hmm.
But you said some people said they found Sabine. I'm not sure if it was 6th inch or not, but...
I was really disappointed in the way Target was set up, at least mine. Mm-hmm. I went back there after I saw the first display. I was like, well, because I want to find the Funkos, and I was kind of looking for those. And I don't know if... I don't know what you would classify a Funko as, because they have, I don't know if you've been to a Target recently, but at least my store, where they have the books and the electronics together, they have in the back section kind of like a pop culture area where they have like Star Wars and Walking Dead and Marvel stuff, and not necessarily toys, but you know, t-shirts and mugs and what have you. And that's where I was like, well, maybe they had a Star Wars section. I was like, well, maybe they'll have some of the Funkos there. So I stopped there. They didn't have anything. So I said, well, because I wanted there's a Target exclusive gin that I really want. And I was looking for it and couldn't find it. So then I go to the toy aisle. And granted, they have more toys there than they did definitely for Force Friday. And pretty... every other time that I've walked by there, they also really don't have that much, even though they have literally an entire aisle, side of the aisle, dedicated just to Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really have many of the... They had a lot of 3 3/4 inch figures, but they didn't have many Black Series figures. So I was a little upset that I couldn't find the Funkos. And... I looked around and I still didn't see him. So I was like, well, I guess they just don't have any. And I talked to Jen Marie on Instagram. She's Across the Stars on Twitter. Anyway, okay. She always talks about Funkos and the toys and stuff like that. And I saw her post a picture on Instagram today of she had the Jen Funko from Target. And I was like, well, where did you find that? And she said, oh, it's on one of the end cap of one of the other aisles. I'm like, why don't you put that with the Star Wars stuff?
Yeah, especially for these big releases or, you know,
yeah,
for the opening weekend of this stuff. Put it in the regular spot. Make it easy to find this stuff.
Exactly.
I mean, I didn't see any Funko stuff at Toys R Us at all. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they even sold through there normally, because like I said, I don't collect the stuff normally, but I mean, it was nothing there last night. I didn't see anything at Walmart, but I wasn't looking for it there either, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating trying to see all this stuff and find it, because I mean, a lot of the stuff, you think in today's age with the internet, we'd be easier to know what's coming out.
Yeah.
and get all the stuff, but
exactly.
It's still like trying to pull teeth trying to find some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I actually went to there's a Barnes & Noble just down the road from Target. So I was like, well, I'm kind of wanting at least one new Funko. And they usually have a pretty good stock of them. Mm-hmm. And I remember last year on Force Friday, they had a ton of Star Wars stuff. They had obviously the books, which they didn't have any this time, but the books, and they had a bunch of toys and t-shirts and little trinkets and Legos and stuff. This time I walked in, they didn't even have a table for Star Wars.
Wow. I was
like, well, this is weird. And they'd kind of changed around because they have all like the toys and like games and stuff in a central area. And I kind of walked around and I felt like they had kind of moved around some stuff since I'd been there last. So I was a little disoriented.
Okay.
I did find a Rogue One display, but they had like nothing. Like, I don't know if they're if it's just been picked over, but I kind of doubt it, honestly. And they had spots for stuff, but there was nothing there. And they had a spot for figures and for the 3 3/4 inch figures. And, you know, you can fit a lot of those in these little cubby holes. They had two figures. One was Kanan with Stormtrooper armor. And one was, I want to say, like, maybe it was the new droid, the Alan Tudyk droid.
Okay.
But it was, that was it. And then I walked around the other side and I found Black Series figures. I was like, oh, well, here's, you know, let's see what's in here. And I was flipping through them. I found the Kanan, which I don't want, but I know he's been kind of hard to find. But the one I did find and I bought was Ahsoka, who I've been really, really looking for. And that was the only one they had.
In black figure?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen her at all.
Yeah, this is the first time I saw her. And, you know, knowing my luck, it would be a terrible sculpt. But this one actually looks really, really good.
Yep.
Like, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, congrats, man. That's awesome.
I'm very, very pleased with it. So, and Jen also looks really good, too. Which is weird because I feel like a female face would be easier to sculpt than a male face. And I don't know if that's just me saying, because most of the bad sculpts I've seen have been male figures, and the halfway decent to good sculpts I've seen have been the female figures. So I don't know if there's like a thing there, or if I'm just, you know, reading into it too much, but I'm pleased with my purchase. I did not see, I went to the Funko section of Barnes & Noble, and they did not have any Star Wars whatsoever. But I think my store might be phasing out some of the, like the movie, because they have a whole movie and like CD section.
Mm-hmm.
And they've recently been like pushing vinyl heavily, so that's taken up like some of the old
space for it.
Old space for some of the CDs and like bargain DVDs, and they've like, I'm pretty sure like they're putting all of the pop culture stuff with like the movies or shows it's based on. It'll be interesting because they were moving a bunch of stuff around that day today. So
okay,
I'll have to go back and
Definitely keep my eyes open for the Funko Jin for you from Target.
Yeah, if you find it,
I was like, there's a couple I was going to stop at tomorrow. I'm actually golfing tomorrow with some friends, but afterwards I was going to try to hit a couple stores in my home. So I'll take a look, see if I see one for you. And
okay, and check the whole toy section and see if you can find it, because that's I really want.
Yep, no, that's cool. Because I was definitely on the lookout for what's out there and kind of get a good feel for it too. I'm kind of, there's a couple stores I want to hit tomorrow that they've had stuff in the past. I don't know if they're still, you know, active with some of the stuff, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, overall, how were you with what was out there? I mean, are you happy with the amount of stuff that was out, or I mean, I know you didn't see everything that we know is coming out, but I mean, just the level of this year's event, was it what you thought it would be? Was it less? Did you want more?
I mean,
last year we said that Star Wars was everywhere after Force Friday. I mean, every possible retail you walked into had something Star Wars. I mean, we saw Star Wars branded oranges somewhere, or apples, wasn't it? It was like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's just too much. I mean,
I think that, okay, in terms of Force Friday or Rogue Friday or whatever you want to call it,
right?
I think that, I mean, my expectations were low to begin with. So, I mean, I was fine the way it happened because, you know, I don't want a mad rush of people trying to buy all of these toys, and then you're never going to find them. I mean, today was I saw some of the reissued Rays that came in this wave.
Okay.
With BB-8. I saw like two or three of those today, and that is the first time I've seen them in store since Force Friday when I bought it.
Okay.
And so it's been a whole year, and I've not seen a single Rey figure on the shelf. So I think maybe Hasbro was better about distributing. I mean, I figure they would think that, you know, there's not going to be a lot of as much demand for these people as there were last time. But I think it was smart to at least re-release Rey. And from what I've seen, people have had good luck about getting Jin, which I think that they have caught on to the fact that people like the female characters and won't buy them just because they're girls.
Well, so, you know, I mean, they better. I mean, this is the second movie with a female lead. They better have enough of those out there. I mean,
exactly. But overall, I was pleased with at least the way I saw it and the way I handled my expectations. I know there are some people that are out there that will be disappointed and say, "Oh, well, it wasn't a big event." I'm like, "Well, you know, it's not going to be a big event because it's Rogue One." I mean, I'm excited for Rogue One, but the general public doesn't even know it exists. Or if they do, they're like, "Well, where's Rey? Where's Finn? Where's Poe?"
Right, right, yeah,
why
exactly.
Why is Darth Vader being talked about? Why is there a third Death Star that we got to worry about?
Yeah, right, right, exactly. I mean, you know, like we said earlier in the show, it's kind of like this is not the mainstream movie that Episode 7 was. I mean,
exactly.
Episode 7 was everywhere. And I think Eric said before, he expects this to do as well in the theaters as Episode 7 or close to it. I don't think it's got a hope or prayer being anywhere near that.
I think it will do...
Well, I think it will do very, very well.
It will do well. I mean, I'm not even expecting it to do half. I mean, I know half is still a lot of money, but...
Oh, yeah, half would even be huge. I think you're right, though, Chris. I don't think it's going to even do close to that. You're right.
I mean, if it's good and if word of mouth is positive, that will be Rogue One's biggest factor is, hey, this Star Wars movie is really cool. And remember that one we saw when we were kids? Yeah, this is a prequel to that one. So go watch
it. Right. I mean, you know, it's kind of weird because it's not going to be the biggest movie of 16 or 17 because it's kind of going to fall right out of that timeline change between the years. It's got 3 weeks worth of time in 2016, so it'll do really, really well, but it's not going to have the entire run of it. And then 17 won't have the biggest part of the run being the first couple of weeks. So it's going to be kind of weird straddling that. But, you know, will it do as well as some of the big movies of 16? Definitely, you know. I think it's going to be a very, very well-received movie. It's just not going to do the numbers that Episode 7 did. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is just... crazy, you know, money, what it did. So, yeah, I think my expectations were kind of the same as yours. I don't think I expected a lot from Force Friday, but I think I was happy with what I got. I'm hoping we see more stuff on the shelves continuing because, I mean, it's been a long time since I saw any black figures swinging on the pegs.
Yeah.
At my local
Walmart.
That's not
Constable Zuvio.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I still saw a lot of Constable Zuvio yesterday. And I still haven't bought... I kind of think I'm not going to buy Constable Zuvio. I mean, I don't know. I should buy because I'm a completist, but... I know
Watch him one day be like one of these super rare figures that everyone just took for granted.
Right, because nobody bought him. He stood on the shelf, and they threw him all away. Mm-hmm. I will buy one eventually. But, I mean, I'm looking through the list here, and, like, you know, you said you picked up Ahsoka. I've never seen her on the shelves. I've never seen Luke Skywalker on the shelves. I've never seen the old Han Solo on the shelves. I've never seen... most of these, I mean, you know, anything I didn't say, Jango Fett, what else? General Hux. The ones I don't have, I've never seen. In fact, Eric gave me a Kanan that he found, because he knows I hadn't seen it, and I finally did share out with him my Evernote note of all the things I have. So if he sees something that I don't have, he'll pick it up for me. But. I don't know. I hope we get more of this stuff out there on the shelves. I hope more people can see the stuff and be exposed. I mean, it's going to be disheartening if you're a fan or a casual fan. You go to the section and you see there's a Star Wars section with nothing there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like it's empty because, oh, we sold all these. It looks like it's empty because no one's updated the shelves and cleaned up the debris. And it looks like it was like... okay, hooks are kind of hanging on the floor. They're you know, not really where they're supposed to be. And it looks like nobody's cleaned the section in weeks. And
yeah.
Doesn't sound the right message if you ask me about what the retail public is looking for. But
The one good thing I did see, though, was remember the big grab for Sphero BB-8s?
Yeah.
I've seen those not just because I mean they weren't like specialty shops before and like Barnes and Noble, and you know, you couldn't just go to Walmart and buy them. I've actually seen them at like, I think I've seen them at Target.
Really? Okay, cool.
Yeah. And the actually, when I did go to Barnes and Noble today, they had like three or four of them along with the new wristband thing that came out.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, that's pretty cool too. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one thing that I want to get later on in the future when I'm not like tight with money. Mm-hmm. But, because I mean, I love BB-8 and I just love the idea of that thing rolling around.
It's awesome. It is a very cool thing. I'm glad I got one. I'm glad they weren't as rare to find as I thought they were going to be. I mean, I thought, ooh, you know what? Maybe I'll get two of these and sell one. But, you know, I didn't do that because that's not my thing. And they didn't actually turn out to be that rare. So they weren't selling on eBay for...
They were for a while, but eventually you could find them.
Yeah, it was actually like within a couple of weeks. It wasn't even like it was months out. It was like... Within the second or third week of retail, they were available, not everywhere, but some places, you know. It wasn't like you had to search high and low. There was, oh, there's a couple here and maybe one or two there, you know, so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, overall, I'm pretty happy with what I got. I'm pretty happy with my collection growing and still debating whether to take some out of the boxes and photograph them in, like, real-life scenarios. I'm a photographer, too, so it kind of... kind of want to do that, but I kind of don't want to open them.
Yeah, I need to redo because I have I have two spots in my room, which is very small, that I could display figures. And right now, I have Legos instead of my figures sitting out, and I'm trying to figure out a way to display everything. I need to clean up my desk too and to put some on here, but. I want to display some of these cool ones because I forgot that I even have, this isn't Star Wars related, but I was in Hot Topic one day, I think at the beginning of summer, and I found a Doctor Who Funko. It's of the Ninth Doctor and he's holding a banana. And not only because he's my favorite Doctor, and that's also from my favorite episode, which is, I think it's The Doctor Dances. So, yeah, I had to have that, and I totally forgot I had it, and it made me happy when I saw him, and I need to display it, so.
I love that kind of stuff, where you're going through a box, or you're going through something, and you're like, oh, I forgot I had this.
Yeah.
It does give you that warm, fuzzy smile face to you. I like that. That's good. Well, before we go, we should probably talk about the fact that Rebels premiered recently, last weekend.
Yes, it did, last Saturday.
I assume you've seen the episode?
Yes, I have.
I have as well. Were you happy with the way season 3 is starting? Or are you just kind of like, okay, I'll wait and see how it gets? Or what was your first impression?
First impression is that it was an okay episode. It was nothing to write home about. It didn't give me that same, oh my gosh, feeling that I got from Spark of Rebellion or the season 2 opener. Definitely not the season 2 finale. I think it was, it was good, a good starting point. It was not a bad episode by any means, and it was a good starting point to set up what came, or what will come on later in, you know, in the season. But, I mean, it was fine. I didn't have a big problem with it. I know people who did.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know people who were just amazed and just loved it. But I mean, I was just kind of, I'll wait and see.
You know, I'm kind of sitting right where you are with the episode too. It was okay. I don't think it was a good continuation from the end of season 2. I mean, end of season 2 was amazing. And I kind of expected a little bit more from the opening of season 3 than we got.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, the thing that kind of bugged me the most was, I was kind of looking forward to, you know, a season or at least half the season of working out the details of, you know, what's going on with Ezra and the Sith Holocron.
And it seems like they wrap that all up, like, really, really quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure we're totally done with that yet, but, I mean, without giving away anything, I mean, you know, the Holocron thing and where came, where Ezra is right now, you know, emotionally and developmentally, I'm like, well, that seemed like we just wasted a really good storyline we could have had for, you know, a good part of the season.
Yeah, I feel like this was, because at the end of season two, we had this feeling of, okay, we just potentially lost one of our heroes. Our main character, arguably, just got severely injured. And then our third hero, who we've really been counting on to, you know, be the up-and-coming bright star, might not be the, you know, the kind of person we're expecting him to be. And then you start season three, and then, you know, you see this kind of rash, kind of headstrong, a bit cocky version of Ezra, which we hadn't seen before, which that was nice, and I liked that.
Yeah, that was great.
But then you just saw him kind of like, oh, I'm sorry, Kanan, thanks for coming to save me, and it's over. Like, that storyline is done. Right. It might not be, but if it's done,
it feels like it is. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing with the Holocron, I mean, you know, he's using it, he's, you know, he's gaining power, and you see him going down that path at a dark side where it's manipulating him where he doesn't know it yet, you know, but he's just kind of like, oh, it's giving me what I need. I'm doing good things with this, so I'm in control.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, in reality, it's not that. He's being led down here, and it's, you know, I kind of equate it to the drug dealer saying, here's a trial. Here, try this, and, you know, and then we're going to keep pulling you back in. Oh, he's your friend, but now all of a sudden, okay, now you're hooked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we got that wrapped up. I mean, even the sequence where Kanan found the Holocron, it was like I kind of expected him to hide that and Kanan wouldn't see it for this episode. Now it was like, well, yeah, it's out. Okay, well, I mean, you know, If listeners have anything to, you know, add to this, I mean, please let it, you know, see, let us know what we're going off the page. I mean, I'm kind of thinking we should have had this all season long. Mm-hmm. Write us in and tell us what you guys saw of the episode. In fact, we do have a new show on the network coming out. Mike and some of the other guys from Retro Convo are doing a Rebels show for us again. Mm-hmm. So that'll be coming out fairly soon. I'm not sure if it's this week or next week, but we'll have those episodes coming out. So we're not going to go too far in the episode, but that was the big gist of this first episode. I was just kind of bummed that we seemed to get a bunch of closure on things that I didn't want to get closure on yet.
Honestly, it kind of reminded me of a filler episode of something.
Okay, yeah.
And not really anything that was just too...
And you wouldn't think your first episode would be a filler episode.
Yeah, it's... Okay. I remember I was watching it last Saturday, and I remember having a thought, and it just came back to me. It kind of reminded me of Firefly. Because the first episode that I ever saw of Firefly also happened to be the first episode they broadcast, which was The Train Job.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, that's not the pilot. That's not where you or see the characters introduced. And you were just kind of thrown into the middle. And that's kind of how I feel like we were thrown in the middle of a story that had been developing. Because, I mean, you know, you have Ezra. Because this is, a year or so? Or a few months?
At least several months, yeah.
After the season two finale. So, you know, Kanan hasn't seen Ezra. Because he's been off. Well, he's not going to see him.
I was
going to
say, he hasn't seen him.
But, you know, they haven't spoken and interacted in, I guess, the whole time. And I guess that's part of the reason why, you know, Ezra feels the way he does about Kanan. And just, he's not mature enough to know what's going on with the dark side. But it kind of felt like the Firefly episode, because in that, I mean, The Train Job is a good episode, and it's one of my favorites of the series, but, you know, you're kind of just thrown in. You don't really know anything about the characters or how they met or really what their purpose is, aside from all they're on a train. Mm-hmm. That's really it.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like this, where, you know, you're thrown into the end of a story that has, you know, you're like, well, what happened in between these months, you know? I mean, maybe we'll find out later on, but I don't know. It just kind of, it was a little bit of a letdown, but I'm not going to complain about it because I love Rebels and I'm just glad it's back.
Oh, I am too. Although I give one little rant about the episode.
Okay. Oh, before you rant, I just want to comment on the fact that the new podcast we're doing, if you're listening to this now and you haven't listened to the new podcast, which is called Ghost Stories, it's wonderful. I actually did listen to it earlier today.
Oh, cool.
It is really, really good. So if you're a Rebels fan and you're listening to this show, but you're not listening to Ghost Stories, check it out, because Mike and Ernie and their new addition, Lindsay, do a great job.
Awesome. I can't wait to listen to that myself.
So anyway, I want to hear your rant.
Well, it's just a little tiny little rant. The episode opens up with their, you know, getting to the prison to break out Hondo, you know?
Yeah.
And they've got this cool prison that's like built inside of a cliff, and it's, you know, very secure because it's only one entrance in and out, and they got this little platform thing where you can land on, and it's not like a straight shot into the prison. You gotta kind of walk around on the ramp to get over there. So, you know, I think very secure as from a security standpoint. But why is there a scout walker on the platform? Where is that scout walker going? I mean, if you want to defend it, put a couple turrets, mm-hmm. you know, couple guys with big guns, maybe. You get this walker going back and forth. Like, what? Why is that there?
Well, it's funny you say that, because, I mean, even if Ezra wasn't, I don't want to get too spoilerish, but you saw what happened to the walker.
I mean, that's the only reason why he was there, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And then you got to think about it. Well, you're like, okay, you're a new Imperial recruit on like your first, second day of work. And they're like, hey, new trooper, recruit, go man the scout walker. You're like, okay, I'm going to be a badass here. And, you know, man the scout walker, I'm going to show everyone what's up. So, you know, you get up there and, you know, you're walking around and all of a sudden you take a wrong step and you fall off.
Yeah. Or, you know, yeah, I'm going to patrol in my scout walker. I can go five steps this way and turn around and take five steps back.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is that there? It did not make any sense. I actually paused the episode and went, what? And I'm on myself. I'm talking to myself now. I'm going, why? What? No, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Who wrote this episode? Because that's just really bad writing. Or lazy writing.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those just coincidental things you put in there just to make a point about Ezra's tendencies.
Yeah, I suppose. Oh, gosh. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of the episode. It was a little rant. It wasn't a big one, just a little one. So if anybody has anything they want to ask us about or talk to us, you know, best way to reach us is via email. You can send us feedback on the show.
Speaking of feedback, I have one quick thing that I want to talk about.
Okay.
I'm glad you said the word feedback. We actually got some from Tim, who is a loyal listener to the show, and he has a few things to say about his Rogue Friday experience.
Oh, okay, cool.
So we have a little bit of time left, I guess. So given that we weren't planning for a long show... That's how it always happens.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
He said first stop, he didn't go overnight. He went starting this morning. And he said his first stop, which was Walmart, surprisingly had very little. He said they had a display and they had a few of the new helmets, the voice-changing helmets. But they didn't really have a lot of new stuff. He said he checked the regular Star Wars section of all the toys as well as the Lego stuff. He said he thinks maybe some of the stuff had been picked through, but he said his market's not really that big, so it was really just the fact that maybe they didn't have much. Maybe it was like you, Lou, went to Walmart and they just didn't have anything. He said he actually went online to verify that today was in fact Rogue Friday.
Yeah.
So he goes to Barnes & Noble next and didn't find any. He was like me. He didn't really find much of anything beyond what they already had. But he did say that some of their Lego Star Wars sets were on sale, which is rare because you don't see that often.
That's really rare, yeah.
Then he went to Target. He said that this was his best experience. They had a separate – well, he was hopeful they had a separate area for Star Wars merchandise, but they didn't have that. Like me, they had the cardboard displays, and they fit everything into the Star Wars toy aisle. He managed to get the Jyn Erso Black Series, and he says the Sabine action figure, which I assume is just the 3 3/4 inch.
Probably, yeah.
Because he designated that. But he didn't. I don't think he got anything else there. And then he went to Toys R Us. His did not open at midnight. He says their Star Wars content was also contained to their normal Star Wars aisle plus the Lego area. They had some new things, much of what he'd seen at Target. He was looking for the Hover Tank Pilot Black Series 6-inch, which was exclusive, but they didn't have any of those. So he said he's going to stop there again and see over the next few days and see if they have anything new. But he says he hopes others had a better Rogue Friday than I did. I'm really thrilled to get the Sabine figure, and I'm impressed with the Jyn Erso Black Series sculpt. So it wasn't a bad day, but I'd hope for better.
Well, cool. Thank you very much. I'm glad we got some feedback from listeners on what their experiences were.
Mm-hmm. And if you have any more of that, definitely send it to us and we'll read it out.
We certainly will. And, you know, I'll go back before we do closing fully here and say something else about my Walmart experience. I have a Walmart in my town, too, and it's not open 24 hours, but I stopped in there Wednesday, I guess it was. Wednesday, we went from work for something else. Oh, let me just swing by into the Star Wars aisle and see what's there. And I did see on the top shelf, you know, the above where the display is, where they have the overstock, they had some stuff out early. Well, I guess really it wasn't early because it wasn't really out. It was up on top shelf where you couldn't really reach it unless you were tall like me. You could just kind of reach up and grab it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to look through. They had all the 3 3/4 figures, the small stuff, no black figures up there. And they had a couple of the 2-packs. There was a couple of 2-packs of the 3 3/4 figures, which looked pretty cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was tempted to go up there and take something to register. Say, hey, can I buy this? You know, and have the computer say no and be like, oh, but it was out on the shelf. And, you know, make a big deal. If they had Black Series figures, 6-inch ones, I probably would have tried that. But I wasn't going to push it with something I really didn't want anyways. But it was just cool to see that. But then I went back. This morning, around 8:30 or so, and the stuff was still on top of the shelf.
I'm like, of course it was.
Are you going to put this out? Like, it says in one of the boxes, there was a box of TIE Fighter or something or other. I was going to open it up because I had my knife on me, but I didn't the day before. But yeah, it was something there, but the box clearly said, do not put out until September 30th. And, you know, still sitting on the top shelf, nobody can get to it. I'm like, that's typical.
Typical Walmart.
Oh, well. So let's continue on with the closing now. So, yeah, send us your feedback. You can do that by reaching us at echobase@randomchatter.com. That's the best way to find us on email there.
You can find us online at other places. We have our Facebook at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can find us on Twitter as well. Joel is doing a great job at keeping that active, which thank you to him as well as Derek for posting on our Facebook. Our Twitter account is at EchoBase Podcast. The main show account is the main network account is at Random Chatter. Eric's Twitter is at Eric Blythe. That's ErikBlythe. I'm at The Curse of Chris. And where are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. It's my name. It's Lou Secki. That's LouSecki. You can find all of our other shows at randomchatter.com, Random Chatter, The Outer Rim, Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, The Retro Convo, Spock Table, Cordcast, and now finally our newest edition, Ghost Story. Yeah, Chris, you're not the newest edition anymore to our
know. Show.
Sorry about that. Yeah,
I know. So I'm going to have to tell that to Joelle on the next Cordcast.
Oh, it's going to crush her.
I know.
Well, you know, prop her up, make sure you take good care of her, you know. But
I'll do my best.
Don't make her feel too bad, but, you know. So, yeah, our two newest shows, Chordcast, the music podcast that you do with Joelle, and Ghost Stories, which is the newest one on Rebels, which is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget to tell your friends about us as well. Leave reviews on iTunes and Stitcher for all of our shows. And one thing you could do that would help us out is if you go to not just the Random Chatter feed, if that's what you subscribe to, but also go to the individual shows feed as well, because those are separate reviews. And because, you know, some people just want to get Star Wars content, and other people just want Jay and Josh's show. Man, that is hard to say.
Yes, he answered it the other way. And Jay's show. That works better. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, so, wow. No wonder Eric always has a tongue twister with that. So, yeah, go and leave reviews for all of the shows that you listen to, not just one specific feed. That'd cool. be great.
Definitely. And we are bringing back live shows eventually. We're still trying to work out our schedules ourselves. Fall is always a changing time for us. You're going back to school. I think Eric's work schedule has changed. So trying to cover a couple of the nights, but we will have that for you shortly. When we do, you can do those at randomchatter.com/live. You can also listen to us on Ustream Live when we're there. Just search for Random Chatter on Ustream.
Yep. And you can finally support us on Patreon. That is one way to keep the network going and keep us going strong. You can find information about that on patreon.com/randomchatter. And if you are interested in donating, I highly recommend thinking about donating for the Slack channel perk, because we've had a lot of activity in that recently. And I also hear that you get previews of some of the new content if you are a Patreon donor. So
yeah, that does really help us keep the lights on here at the network, pay some of the bills that we need to get done to keep everything going. And the Slack channel is definitely a fun perk. I think we get a lot of fun out of it ourselves as the hosts, and the people that interact with us on Slack seem to enjoy that as well. I was posting pictures. I was at the Big E today, which is it's like a multi-state fair here in New England. And, of course, you know, there's all kinds of food, and I was posting pictures of beer and food all day, and people
making everybody hungry.
People were mad at me, and I think Carrie said I had a, you know, she says, you know, day drinking is a sign of a problem. And I said, no, it's not a problem. I can walk around and drink at the same time. It shows coordination.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was pretty fun. But, you know, yeah, the Slack channel is definitely a fun perk, and we appreciate everybody who has contributed to us from one form or another there and help us out, and we'll gladly bring you more and more content. So, well, I think that brings us to the end of this episode. I'm glad we got to do this tonight, Chris. It was good to have you on, and good not to have to listen to Eric's rants and controlling the show.
We'll have to worry about that. I know. I'm sure he'll have something to say about either Rebels or,
his take on the Force Friday thing, because he showed up and immediately started, you know, talking about problems. Here we go. It's not just on the show. It's in person too. Come on.
Well, hey, maybe the next time we do, we might do one more Echo Base before we go to New York. But we should also say too that if any of our listeners are going to be at New York Comic Con, let us know, because Lou, you are going Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. I'm going Friday and Sunday, and on Saturday we're going to be in the city, kind of having a Random Chatter meetup.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we're going to get together and probably have some beverages maybe here and there and some food. Since we don't have tickets to get into the Comic-Con, we'll have to do something else. But yeah, if you're going to be down that way, or you can get there on the day, let us know. Send us an email, drop us a line on Twitter, and we'll see if we can all meet up somewhere.
Yep.
Well, very good. Until next week, we'll see you guys later.
Bye, everyone.
The Force will be with you, always.